start using cutting-edge Warp Speed 5G technology with your cell phone. Let me tell you about my friends at mobilemobile.io. They have an ultra-fast 4G LTE and 5G network that covers 99% of Americans. So they've got you covered everywhere. Think about it for a moment. You have the opportunity to take a test drive for 10 days with unlimited talk, text, and premium data. What is premium data? Premium data is an allotment of a cellular data that you receive from a higher priority on the network. You won't get throttled like you will with some of those, well,
non-brand
service providers. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to mobilemobile.io. That's mobilemobile.io to start your 10-day free trial.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM. This episode of the broadcast and the podcast is brought to you by Aero. The next generation error reduction and mitigation system. For more information, go to aerohp.com.
Well, hello and welcome to Safety FM. This is Jay Allen. I am so glad that we're finally here in 2020. Been looking forward to this thing for quite a while. Anyways, we've been talking about over the last few weeks that there's something coming on the 14th of January. So next week, episode 100 of the Safety FM podcast and broadcast will be coming out. And we'll have a discussion at that time of what things you may be able to expect and what we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks or so. Also, please keep in mind that on January the 16th, we have a new show coming up. Take a listen.
Why are we doing an essential leadership podcast? What does it mean? What's it going to be centered around, and why should leaders listen to it?
To target some of the leadership attributes of human and organizational performance, personality diversity, that
will give leaders an opportunity to listen to in short bursts and then give them something that they can actually do in their organization.
Over 25 years helping leaders reducing errors and incidents. Here is your host of the Essential Leadership Cycle Podcast, Rolf Fisher.
Well, let's get into the business of today. Today, I have the great opportunity of speaking to Mike Bowman. Now, Mike Bowman, I found him on LinkedIn. Now, Mike, he posts all kinds of videos all the time on LinkedIn, and he's actually talking about the different things that you can run into. So let me give you a little bit of background on Mike Bowman here. He has worn many hats in his life: maintenance director, warehouse manager, equipment operator, pastor, counselor, life coach, safety director, and with each change, he is learning more and more the importance of leadership, teamwork, and serving the needs of the ones you work with. With over 14 years of managerial experience, he is confident with working with all sorts of individuals and walks of life, all working cohesively together. So today I actually had the great opportunity of having a conversation with Mike. And he talks about his journey and how he got to where he's at inside of the safety world and how he took a different turn than what most people do to get to where he's at today. And I want to point out that Mike went so far out of his way that he had just had oral surgery and he decided to still come on to the show. So I would really do appreciate him taking the time to do so. Anyways, enjoy this episode with Mike Bowman here on Safety FM.
The countdown has begun. On January 14th, 2020, find out only on Safety FM.
So I appreciate you actually taking the time of doing this, because I know that it is taking some time out of your day to have the discussion. But I don't know, a few months back, I ran into your videos. I was really enticed by some of the video offerings that you had there. And I just really wanted to have the opportunity to speak with you and really understand, how did you get involved with this? And how did it get you to the point on wanting to make videos and, you know, putting yourself out there for the world to see you?
Well, you know, well, first of all, it's always an honor that anybody would want to hear me speak. And it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm sure you can understand this. It's like people ask me stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm nobody. You know, I'm just a guy, just like anybody else. But several years ago, well, actually for 7 years, I was a pastor and a counselor for married couples and children and helping families reunite. And I did that with a lot of 1% or motorcycle gangs. And I just came to a place where I needed to feed my family. It wasn't a job that paid well. And it was kind of between a rock and a hard place. And a buddy of mine said, "Hey, man, I've been working this job for a little over a year. I'm a contract griller in the mining industry. And man, would you like to give it a go?" And he's like, "It pays all right." And stuff like that. So I said, "Yeah, sure." So I just jumped in there. And it was kind of crazy. It was whirlwind. We working, months on end at 80 hours a week. And coming home and, seeing that your kid had grown. And I couldn't remember the time between them growing, and missing out on some things. But our safety guy quit. And I talked to the owner of the company and said, "Hey, I'm just interested in talking about safety, because it kind of backs up with my past of trying to inspire people and, improve things for people's lives. And I think I'd be good at it." And so he took a gamble on me. His name is Matt Boatman. They're General Drilling, and he did just that. He said, "Hey, man, let's do it." And so we did it, and I was pretty good at it.
Well, let me ask a question there, because you're not, let's say, quote unquote, a default safety guy by choice. Because of your tie-in, because of the ministry, you decide that you want to be able to assist people. It's very interesting. So how did you, I won't say sell, but how did you influence the owner to think that this was the right case scenario?
Well, for me, I'm a quick study, and so once you start to learn the CFR for mining, for MSHA, their rules and regulations, you kind of get to know what needs to happen and what doesn't. And then I had the most fortunate, awesome opportunity to meet somebody by the name of Matt Bunner. And at the time, he worked for a company called Mulzer's that just got recently, kind of last couple of years, bought out by Oldcastle. But he, in my opinion, is probably one of the best safety guys in the Midwest, if not in the country. I love his program. I love his passion. I love what he does. And I just told him, yeah, he and I kind of got a rapport. And from that, he's like, "I can coach you and help you through anything." And Matt had nothing to gain from this either. It's not like we were paying him or anything like that. He spoke at one of our safety events. And like I said, we got a rapport. And from that, and just having him in my hip pocket all the time, I just told my boss, "Mike, there's nothing that I can't do. I absolutely 110% can do this." And jumped in there and was very successful. And when I left to go to Turner, I was asked not to leave. So that's always good. They're like, we don't want you to leave. I think what you have to have in safety, and this is my biggest pet peeve, is safety cops. You have to have a love for people, a true love for people. I had someone one time tell me that he was looking for a new job. And he was trying to get my advice, and I give free advice all the time. I talk to thousands of people throughout the months just on advice on safety, advice on, jobs and careers. And this guy was saying, "Hey, I want to be, get another safety job." I said, "Well, what's your core beliefs?" He said, "I don't care if the guys hate me at the end of the day." He said, "Just as long as they go home safe." And I said, "You know what, bud? I understand that mentality. But the fact of the matter is, if your people don't love you, and they know that you don't love them, they're never going to follow you. And they're always going to look for ways to get around the rules that you're trying to make them safe every day." And I always say this all the time. There's two types of leaders. The one that says, "Let's charge that hill," and everybody wants to shoot them in the back once they go up that hill. The other leader says, "Let's charge that hill," and all their people charge past him so he doesn't get hurt or she doesn't get hurt. And it's that kind of leader that you have to be as a safety person. That's the kind of leader that I aspire to be. And that's what made me successful at General Drilling. And I think that if you could take that mentality wherever you go, it's a game changer, especially when you've got people's lives and the quality of their lives at stake every day, especially in mining and heavy construction. Those, as well as I do, those industries chew people up. We want to be there for them. You have to have a passion. If you don't have a passion, you're not going to make it. I don't care what your accolades say. I've seen safety people that have every kind of certification after their name. I mean, it's their name and then all those beautiful letters. And I think an education of safety is so important, so beautiful. But if you don't know what it's like to live the lives of the people that are working in the field, you're going to be no good as a safety person. You're going to fail every single time. You got to know. I know what it's like to come in there, get into a piece of equipment, watch the sun rise, set, and then rise again on the same shift and never go home. I know what that's like. And I learned a lot of things of what not to do. And that's a hard way to be a safety person, by the way. It's not one that I that I challenge anybody to do. Don't go the hard way, but I've seen a lot of things.
This is something you've learned over the years, though, because of course, what you're saying that you're doing the transition of being a pastor to all of a sudden going into the company that was called General Drilling, you have a learning curve there. So all of a sudden, I mean, this is just a question, of course, because you don't have that background at that particular moment. How do you get the people to start loving you if you don't have the experience? And I'm asking for how it happened with you. Not, believe me, no judgment whatsoever. Just a question.
Oh, no. It took a while. But they had a bad taste in their mouth for it in the first place. And you know as well as I do, a lot of times you have some things that when you become a new safety person that you inherit that are cultures in the company. And some of them are great. And some of them are not so great. And so you have to tackle some things. And, you know, as generic as it sounds, it's consistency. There's a balance and consistency. Now, someone told me one time, well, yeah, you can love your people, and I appreciate all that, but it does, you know, at the end of the day, no, I really do think you should keep people accountable to your rules and regulations. I think that your rules and regulations should be above the federal standard of whatever the federal standard, whatever if it's OSHA, if it's MSHA, or whoever it is that your safety rules are going towards, you need to be above and beyond those things, I believe. But compliance is not the end all to everything. And I really believe that it was through consistency of holding people accountable. So they, you know, the word was out. Well, Mike wrote somebody up, you know, so he's a real safety guy. He's really going to do his job. But at the same time, taking opportunities to teach people, talking to people about their families, letting them know that you care about them. You know, when I would get out there on the shot, well, that's what we call it, as drillers, you called it the shot. We'd get out there on the shot and it was more than just about, okay, I'm going to look and make sure your machine's in your PPE, your machine is in compliance, your PPE is on point, making sure your wheel trucks are out, that your parking brake works. I'm going to do much more than those things. And I'm going to make sure that your harness is looking good. I'm going to do those things, but I'm also going to talk to you about you and your day and the challenges that you're meeting, you know, how the customer's making you feel today, or maybe you've worked a lot of hours. And so, you know, I'm going to do more than just make sure that, you know, I'm going to pencil whip some kind of safety form and submit it that day. You know, I'm going to make a connection there. I'm going to make a friend. And then all of a sudden, I start to see guys report things to me. Hey, this happened today. And then I started to reward them for those things. You know, they would be like, hey, you know, this happened today. Or they would really be just engaging. They started to engage and engage and engage. And all of a sudden, I found this almost like pride in safety with these guys that, like, hey, you know, I saw this and I saw this today at the mine and this happened to me. And, hey, would this be a good topic to cover? So now I've got guys speaking me on topics. But it's through that consistency of showing them, hey, and with people, to get inside of their minds and get inside of their hearts, it takes time because they have walls. Some people are open books, but most people have walls. And you've got to prove to them that you're actually there to help and not hinder. And, man, I'm telling you, once you establish that, for the most part, you're going to have that guy who doesn't care either way. But for the most part, as a whole, you're going to have people who really love you and go, hey, you know, I'm glad that guy showed up today, or I'm glad that lady showed up today.
Now, did any of them actually know you as a minister prior to you arriving to this particular company?
Only one, Darren, who was just an outstanding driller. I mean, this guy, there's not a piece of machinery out there that it's Sandvik or Epiroc or Drill Tech. I mean, this guy can run it. And he did. He knew me as a minister. But the funny thing was we were friends, but he was just one of these guys who really swung in there and helped me in some hard times. So he knew my background, but other than that, no one else did.
You leave this company, go to another organization. At what point do you start doing your videos? That this is how I found you.
I was in Nashville somewhere. at a mine site, and I did my first video, and I get frustrated a lot of the times. You know, I was once in a mine site in Western Kentucky, and I watched a lady safety person do some things that I just thought was so unscrupulous. She was asking my driller to do things that was beyond manufacturer specs. She doesn't even know the piece of equipment. And so she was asking to do things because often this company that we were working for at the time, which is the safety team, would do things just to justify their own existence. And that really, I know that's a harsh thing to say, but a lot of times safety companies or safety people do that. And they just constant rules, constant. When they were firing people left and right, it was just a corrosive place to be. And I remembered that when I was in Nashville, and I wanted to do just to talk about loving your people and how much that I would see sites improve just by being there and encouraging people to work safer. And I'm all the way into keeping people accountable, writing people up if you have to. Discipline is really important. Discipline, I believe, is the root of that is disciplinos, which just means to teach. But I still believe in discipline. And so I just was talking about that, and man, I got like 6,000 views, and my boss called me up, like Keith Turner called me up like, oh, about 15 minutes later. And I was like, man, what's up? And he's like, did you just post something? I was like, yeah, why? And he goes, if you don't get an Instagram in 15 minutes, you're fired.
Well, at least he encouraged you right away.
Right away. I was like, what are you talking about? What's an Instagram? And I'm not big on social media, and I'm not great at it. And so I'm just like, what are you talking about? He goes, Michael, you got like 6,000 views in just a couple of minutes. Got people, my phone's ringing off the hook. People are asking me, who is this guy? So I was like, okay. He goes, keep doing videos. And I was like, okay. He goes, this is officially part of your job. I'm firing you if you don't keep doing these videos. So, and I just like to talk about more things than just safety too. You know, I like to talk about, hey, you know, challenging yourself and growing your heart, growing your mind, because these things are so important in life and moving forward and building that legacy that will far surpass your legend. You know, I say that little catchphrase a lot, but man, it truly means a lot to me. It means everything to me. And it's what I base my whole life off of. And it brings a lot of joy in your life when you know that you're moving forward. And especially like in a safety situation, when you know you've got a staff that is just in love with what you're doing and loves their people and is joyful about coming to work and keeping your people safe. It's a real honor. And so that's how it all started. And now sometimes, you know, I've had one post, we put 600,000, and then sometimes I get two, you know, it doesn't really matter. I just realize there's a need for the content, and I get a lot of joy out of interacting with people, especially on LinkedIn. Man, I just get some great conversations with people and just love just helping people and coaching people. And, you know, I don't charge anything for it. I'm insatiable about seeing people move forward. It means that just, I just absolutely get excited about it.
Well, let me ask you, have you thought about actually going on the road and maybe doing some speeches out of this or anything to that extent? Or you just want to really stick to the social media aspect as we speak?
No, I would totally be open to it. I've had some offers here and there, but you know how it is. I think you and I have talked before about being on the podcast, and I think I may even have stood you up, but I can't remember. But
we don't have to talk about it out loud, but yeah, that did happen.
And I'm so sorry. It's just I had this emergency, and I had to fly to California, and I couldn't be on the podcast, and I felt so bad. As a matter of fact, I felt so bad that when you asked me again, I've just had turbinate and deviated septum surgery. And so I'm like, I am not standing this guy up. Even though I just had surgery, I'm going to talk with this guy.
I feel bad that I have you on and you're just finishing having surgery. I apologize about that, but I appreciate it at the same time, too.
But yes, I am totally open. I love to speak. I love to engage with people. I would absolutely adore that. And so that's the direction that I would like to head eventually. And I know Keaton mentioned it several times to me as well. It's just like, you know, you need to be getting some speaking gigs. And this is all kind of new to me too, you know. And I don't know about you, but I'm not the final authority on anything, whether it's safety or life. You know, I'm just experiencing life as is. So sometimes it's hard and very humbling to be getting as much attention as I've been getting lately. over things, and I don't take it lightly, man. I really take it personal in a good way, and it's very humbling. So yeah, I would love to speak.
Well, I mean, the interesting part about it is I'll tell you, your messaging is so uplifting. Even when you turn around and you talk about your pet peeves, it's in a positive kind of point of view, which is different, because normally when people talk about pet peeves, that's not how they go about it. But I was really, I think that was one of the first videos that I had seen. And I was like, well, maybe we could do some stuff there. Now, do you see, as you're doing this, do you tie in some of your ministry stuff into how you actually manage the safety aspect of it? Because it almost sounds, it's so positive. And I don't want to go and say, oh, you sound like this other minister that I heard, but it's just a positive approach, which is way different than what most people do. And I think it's great. So do you see that that's the way that you're doing it?
I think so. I learned a lot sitting with people. I had an experience many times where I was on call with a local jail. And it's a very large jail, and it's for the whole county. And I would go in there sometimes when people were on the suicide watch. And so they would, as brutal as this sound here, they would come in their, you know, their orange outfit. They would actually come in with the shackles on, and they would actually be hooked to a concrete table. And then we would sit literally just a few feet from each other in a small room, and I would have a guard in the room with me. And I would have to convince this person of why they needed to live. Now, you got to think about this. I mean, this person's in jail. There's a reason why they're there. A lot of people would take that opportunity to talk down to them and talk about how bad their life is. But what I realized is that every person has quality. Every person has beauty within them. You just have to reveal it and help them to see it. There's a pureness to everybody's soul. And to be able to touch that is so important. And if you're a safety person and you're listening to this today and you want to be successful, learn people, learn their tells, learn their body language, understand them, understand the psychosis of a person and what makes them do the things they do, and you will be wildly successful. Add in some of the fact that you care and that you're passionate about them going home because you know their kid's name, you know their family, you know what they're going home to. That's one of the hardest things with working for Turner, because we have so many employees. I don't know them all. I love them all, but I don't get to know them all personally. But I'm telling you, it has been one of the most successful. It's like a wildfire. It starts off very small and subtle, and some people will see it and see that in you, that you truly care and you're trying to make safety incentives and you're trying to push those goals and you're trying to do those things, and they're going to just follow you immediately, because that's just, they're a buy-in people. But then you have those kind of people that are really, you know, calloused, and they're just, you know, the verdict's always out with them. Well, through time, all of a sudden, man, that wildfire grows and that passion grows, and then all of a sudden they start having passion for each other, and it grows out and it spreads, and it's such a beautiful thing. And I'm seeing it here at Turner like crazy. Our people are so passionate for each other. There's a brotherhood and a family, and it's just so wonderful. You know, heaven forbid anything bad happens, and that's the hardest thing about safety. People think if you're looking to be a safety person because you think it's going to be easy, you're going to be a desk jockey, and you're going to sit in an office, and you're never going to be a good safety person. You've got to be out in the field. You've got to be with your people. But at the same time, you think it's going to be easy, you're crazy. You know, when I was in the ministry, I sat there with families when their family members died, holding their hands, looking at their wives, and them looking at me like I needed to do something, full well knowing there was nothing I could do. That was one of the most lost feelings I've ever had in my life, to sit there and look in a woman's face to see her husband pass away and be there while it happened and not be able to help. I saw a guy who got into a motorcycle accident on the Louisville Bridge with his wife. She lived. He did not. Steve's head was as white as his shoulders. It swelled up that bad. We were in the hospital with him, and there she is looking at me that I needed to save this man in this accident. There was nothing that I could do. It's a lost feeling, and that's the job of a safety person. That's the job of the safety person. It's life and it's death, and if you can't take that seriously and you don't have passion about people, then you're just going to compute those things to numbers, and that never, ever works. You cannot compute people's feelings, their hearts, and the way they do things to an Excel spreadsheet. It doesn't work, man. You got to care for them. And if you're not that kind of person, safety's not for you.
I mean, and that's a difficult pill to swallow for some, because you have to understand there are some companies that are out there that they're all data driven. It's everything is based on data, and everything. And I guess human emotion is just kind of secondary, even if it does get a second spot. So hearing you say it from the way that you're looking at it, I think it's such a great approach, because I think that we tend to forget sometimes, not everyone, but some people tend to forget, hey, you know, there is a human factor into the whole thing here. It's not just, they're not robots. They can't turn it off the moment they walk in through the door. And I remember me personally going through my first experience where I was involved, where there was a fatality, and it was a life-changing event, and it's not something that you ever want to see, but once it does occur, it does change you forever.
Oh, yeah. Life and death is so very real, and it never computes it until it's right in front of your face, and then it's just like, man, this is real, and how do I do this? You know, I know a lot of companies do that. The company that I aforementioned, that was my biggest pet peeve, but the safety cop, they were constantly making just these random rules all the time. And it was hard for people to keep up. So it was just like, do I do this or do I do that? What's the new rule? And so that was a hardship. And so I'll never forget being there when MSHA rolled up, them coming up to our drills, and I'm like, you guys are great. You know, you have all your ducks in a row, everything's perfect, and they left. And then we find out that in the plant that they had over 100 citations in one day, and here they touted as having this great safety culture and this great safety people that they brought in, and they were just slapping people left and right, and they were firing people for the smallest infractions, and then here they have 100 and almost 17, I think it was, citations that day.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. So what it showed me was, the harder that you push with that kind of stuff, there's a breakdown in there somewhere, and there's got to be a balance that you find. And let me just reiterate, yes, there is a lot of heart and soul, but yeah, you still need to hold people accountable. I mean, you have rules, you have regulations. That's a no-brainer. So I'm not even talking about that. A lot of people will say that all your heart and soul, you don't keep. No, you got to keep people accountable, period, because you have lives at stake. And so, you know, at this company, I have fired people because of safety infractions while I was at the mine site. I've had to let people go and then drive them to the airport for 2 hours to get them to the airport so they could go home. That's an awkward drive home, but I've had to do it.
And that's the difference there. There's the difference there, because there's such thing as errors that occur, and then there's other things that are violations. And you hold people accountable for violations. And I think that sometimes is part of the conversation that gets lost in translation of, hey, yes, we do care about people, but no, there is such thing as errors, and there's such thing as violations. Yep. And when you're able to separate the two and understand it, boom, that's how you are able to hold people accountable. That's, of course, just my two cents.
Yes. No, I agree. I love the way you put that. I think that's really great, and that's perfect way. And so, I think it's some things. And think with safety too is there's so many different variables to everything. I mean, you know, there's sometimes a human element's not even in there. Sometimes it's geological safety situation that you didn't even know was there. Something existed under the ground, and a piece of equipment gets swallowed up, or you know, something happens, and so safety is. We need everybody. You know, we've got a guy on our staff. His name is Grant, and Grant is more of an analytical person. So I'm the type of person that's used to counseling someone who doesn't want to be counseled. I'm used to having to pull things out of people that they don't understand is there. And so I'm more analytical in an emotional sense. So my emotional intelligence is very high, but Grant is very analytical towards the law, the CFR. We balance each other out so well. And so I think that's another thing too, to your safety team. You've got to have people that have a high emotional intelligence, and you've got to have people that are very analytical on the rules and very sharp with the rules, regulations. And then you combine those things and have them have a mutual respect for each other's gifts. And that's one thing that's a real bad problem, because a lot of people say, well, man, they're so analytical. And the other guy will say, well, he's so emotional. He cares about people all the time. He's so wishy-washy. But no, if you have respect and honor for each other's gifts, you balance each other out, and you have a really strong safety team. So I encourage any company that's out there, don't just cram one safety guy. I know a company right now, a friend of mine, he's a one safety guy, and he's over 1,000 employees. That's too much coverage, man. Not one. That's too much. Mm-hmm. You've got to really, in today's day and age, you've got to invest in safety. Because if you invest in safety, you're investing in culture,
and you're investing in the well-being of your people, it's going to show, and your production is going to go up. I've been at sites, man, where production was low, and come up there and pick up the morale, and all of a sudden those safety infractions that were happening, the different things that were going on, the low morale kicks up, everything kicks up, production kicks up, and everybody's being safer, and everybody's calling stuff out with each other and encouraging each other. It's amazing how it works. But you just got to show first that you care, and then, man, you will drive in a way that you never thought possible.
Now, Mike, I have a question for you. If our listeners want to learn more about you, where can they go to get some more information?
So I'm working on that. I've been scolded by Keith about not having a website and all that kind of stuff. But I'm very active on LinkedIn and some on Instagram. On LinkedIn, I'm just Michael Bowman. And on Instagram, I am... Michael Bowman, I think it's 2121. That shows you how much weight I'm putting in. So I'm just now trying to get to know all this stuff and be more savvy and be more intentional. And I want to pick my posts up too. So I want to bring people more meat, more content. So because okay. I see the need.
Well, I appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Oh, man, I'm honored to be on here. Anytime anyone wants to hear me talk, man, I'm just like, I don't know why, but I'm so super happy and glad to do it. And I love what you're doing, man. If you think about it, that's not really out there right now. And what you're doing is big because safety is huge now. It's, I talk to people from Australia, the Netherlands. Oh, my God, the Netherlands. That's so cool. And this is a worldwide movement to keep our people safe and to love them. And I'm so proud of it. And so we need to keep it sacred, and we need to keep pushing the envelope more and more and more. Let's get those fatalities down to zero. That's the goal. One is too many.
The countdown has begun on January 14th, 2020. Find out only on Safety FM.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
So do you feel like you're missing out on what everyone is starting to do now, that live streaming thing, and you don't know where to start or what to do? I have the resource and the information to provide to you in regards on how you can stream onto 40 social media platforms all at one time. Yes, that's 440 social media platforms all at one time. All you'll need to do is go to safetyfm.com/one. That's safetyfm.com/one. That's O-N-E. So just in case. And you'll be able to start live streaming just like you're hearing people starting to do right now, up to 40 social media platforms.